Once upon a time, there were six strangers. Strangers who, despite the best efforts of the coronavirus, got together for a virtual game of D&D. That game turned into another game, which turned into yet another game, which turned into a campaign. By then, the strangers, who had started to become friends, said, "Hey, since we're playing and we need those notes anyways, why don't we record it and release it as a podcast?" This is the story of the players and the characters in that campaign. This is the story of Golden Glory in Season 3, The Shadow Conclave. Okay, welcome to our D&D podcast. First thing you gotta know, we're not voice actors. We're not even actors. We're just a bunch of regular folk who wanted to play D&D during the coronavirus pandemic. Next thing you gotta know, this ain't your run-of-the-mill D&D game. It's an Acquisitions Incorporated game, which means it's going to get weird, corporate, and have a bunch of acting in-jokes. Last thing you gotta know, it's a homebrew game, which means if you're looking for adventures on the Sword Coast, or in Tal'Dorei, or in Wildmar, you're not going to find them here. But if you're looking for something a little familiar, and more than a little different, onwards to Golden Glory. Now, before we begin, here's a quick character intro, just to help you know who's who.
Hi, I'm Selena, a human divination wizard, and I'm the loremonger.
Hi, I'm Theo. I'm a human twilight cleric, and I'm also the documancer.
Hey, I play Edith, a dwarf barbarian, and I'm the decisionist.
Hi, I'm Siona, a half-elf bard, and I'm the secretarian.
I am Turin, a dragonborn paladin, and I am an independent contractor representing the Kingdom of Lemuria.
Hi, I'm Bobo the Hobo. I'm a tabaxi rogue and a freelance contractor.
Shadow Council, we bring to you today our second official episode of Season 3, a tale of intrigue, adventure, and corporate machinations, Golden Glory, the Shadow Conclave. To my actual right, Selena. You used your crystal ball.
Yes, I did.
The quintessential divination wizard's tool, ever handy for auguries probing the depths of fate and manifest destiny. I thought it was long forgotten in the deep recesses of your backpack, but I guess not.
No, it's on my hip.
Oh, it's on your hip? Now, I mean, here you are at the beginning of a brand new story arc, and you have your divination power there. What is in store for Golden Glory today, or even in the near future?
Well, I predict that us not going to Lemuria is going to have some negative effects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last time you said because you went to Lemuria, the whole world will fall or something.
Yes.
Something really, you know, overly melodramatic like that. Okay. Tagline?
Oh.
I mean, you have to do double duties. I mean, I guess you have a prediction, unless that is your tagline.
That was my tagline.
Wow.
I don't know.
You know, you have so much time. You have like 2 weeks to actually prepare for this, like every single time. It's like not hard.
As we arrive at Salt Marsh, will we be taken to court or not?
God, I hope so. To my virtual left, Theo. So, do you remember way back at the beginning of the franchise when you tried to make James the first mate of the Sea Ghost, promoting him to a position of great power and even greater responsibility?
Yeah, he didn't handle it very well.
Yeah, no. It didn't really work out that well, right? So given that lesson learnt, what are your thoughts on giving our lowly cabin boy the task of sorting and filing all of the financial account documentation, inbox and outbox, accounts payable, accounts receivable, debits and credits? Do you have a tagline that possibly captures this?
Well, I mean, I thought it was a simple.
Says the professional, you know, accountant in real life. I know if you gave that task to me, I'd be like, oh, I don't know. Does it go in this envelope? Now there's like, and there's the cabin boy.
Well, do you know the alphabet?
I do. But still, if it weren't explained to me, I still wouldn't know what I'm doing.
Well, you know, as long as I don't know. I thought if you put it in some order, I could figure it out.
Again, says the professional accountant. Tagline!
Serene's light guides our way, even Jane.
Hopefully he feels that way too. The theologian in Twilight, the master of the moon mace, Theo Banks. Edith, once again, you prove to be the voice of leadership, being the first to step into the fray to face head-on the rising belligerence of the Sea Ghost crew, especially your security guard lizard folks, who are furious at the decision not to stop over in Lemuria, prioritizing the fate of one gnome over the entire kingdom? Did Theo, your self-proclaimed leader, brave the Horde? Did Siona, responsible for morale, do that same thing? Did Turin, captain of the Lemurian Queen's Guard? No! But you, the shortest person, but the stoutest in courage, stepped forward and owned up to the fact. And for that, I must award you inspiration! Tagline!
Thunder goes boom!
I do like that one. The Barbarous Beauty, the Raging Rampager, Edith. Siona!
She's having problem with Discord. It's not loading.
That's her excuse. Okay, well, I guess, you know, we're just going to skip over all this stuff. We're just going to have to go straight to that thing. Turin! So Golden Glory, despite your vote, has overruled you and you will not be reporting into Queen Sorsha in Lemuria. The Queen, by the way, I hope I don't have to remind you, is your lover and may have laid the egg of your own offspring. And you lost the respect of your mentor, General Hyrek. And yet, when the Lizardmen started their labor protest, you said nothing. You did nothing. And you call yourself a knight of the realm, once the captain of the Queen's Guard? Do you know what I say? I say, for shame, sir. For shame. Now tell me, what tagline do you have to say in your defense?
I keep the peace as much as I can. And when we return to the Salt Marsh, then I organize a group to go back to Lemuria.
That's a really, really long tagline. Generally, they're like short and snappy. Okay? And no inspiration for that one. The Draconian Defender, the Sergeant of Scales, Turin. And at last, the newcomer to our scene, the new player in our story, Bobo the Hobo. So Bobo, last episode, after years on the run, hiding from your corrupt brother, the crown prince of the Beastkin Kingdom of Plainsfar, you finally made it to Saltmarsh. And you made some new friends in the seedy underbelly of Saltmarsh, bribing them with actual gold pieces, expensive drinks, and an appeal to the Brotherhood of Thieves. Now, out of curiosity, how did you feel that exchange went?
I feel like it went quite well.
Oh, okay. And so do you think that this friendship is reciprocal? Do you feel that your new friends have your back?
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, on that note, remembering that this is your first official Golden Glory tagline, let's hear it.
Not everything is what it seems.
See, you know what? Just for kicks, I'm going to give you inspiration because that was like short, snappy, wonderful. The thieving tabaxi, the feline fence, the connoisseur of crime, Bobo da Hobo. Oh.
Yay.
Woo! Siona Star Glimmer.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. Nice of you to join us today, Siona Star Glimmer. Well, I have a question for you. Do you remember instructing James, the lowly cabin boy, about your concerns regarding the first mate Sphere 2 and his tendencies towards authoritarianism?
I don't know. What did I say?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It, well, you know, I think you kind of said something to the effect that it was important for James to put a curb on said predilections. I mean, you know, as we referenced earlier with Theo, when James was completely overwhelmed by his initial promotion to first mate, you were actually the first person to reach out to make him feel comfortable, to make him feel at ease. So he pretty much worships you, right? I mean, don't you think that he would pretty much do anything that you asked of him?
I'm not so sure.
Oh, you have doubts, do you, Siona Star Glimmer? Tagline!
When in doubt, laugh it off.
The siren of song, the mistress of music, Siona Star Glimmer. Everybody, Siona. Woo! Now, when last we saw our heroes, what happened to the G-Team, our fearless franchisees, in our Season 3 international premiere? Anyone?
Bad dreams.
Yes. That's true.
And late night chats. It was basically a pajama party.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, pajama party.
At Selena's. Yes. No, that's right. Selena's, not Siona, Selena's.
Yeah. And I seem to remember Selena. like Theo, the curmudgeon, you know, basically telling you guys to shut up and, you know, like, why are you guys making so much noise?
He needs his beauty rest.
Well, you girls were loud. You're giggling. And
No, we weren't giggling. Siona was scared.
Something high-pitched. Like, it woke me up.
And if I recall, and then Bobo, I mean, what about from your perspective, having, you know, just joined us? Anything for you to add?
I think staring down an orc was enough.
that's true. Well, okay, you guys are like, you're not even like, you know, here's your chance to shine. Here's your chance to, you know, make yourself seem better than maybe it actually was. Maybe I'll just do a quick little reminder, right?
I did an amazing divination.
Oh, yeah. Tell us a little bit about that divination.
Well, Timely's not in a good spot, but should we have prioritized Timely over the whole world? No.
Well, I don't know. The whole world is a little bit, that's a bit of a stretch, Selena. I mean, yes, you could maybe say prioritizing Timely over the entire kingdom of Lemuria.
Yes.
But the whole world?
Well, no, it's going to affect the Empire as well.
Oh, okay. All right.
So,
okay.
The whole world.
Okay. And then,
you know, you're giving your word.
Yeah. So what, you know, in your vision, like, what is going on with Timely?
Timely is captured. He is chained up.
Oh.
And he's working on something, but he's not doing it very.
Now, do you believe that your visions and your divinations are always literal?
Not necessarily.
Oh, so this could be some sort of metaphor?
Yeah, it could be.
It could be some sort of potent.
But he's doing something he doesn't want to do.
Oh,
or he is being asked to do something he doesn't want to
I
do.
I see.
So I don't know if he's actually. But that's what the vision was.
For a different kind of dungeon master.
All right. And then there were some, you know, goings on with the crew. The lizard men basically, you know, started almost like a mini protest over not being able to go. Siona kind of ran off to kind of consult with Canty while Edith kind of confronted the unruly mob. Siona came back, did a little bit of a ditty to kind of, you know, make it seem like she understood and empathized with all their feelings and kind of.
She doesn't though, because she otherwise she would go to Lemuria.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, hey, you guys voted on it. Like, the decisionist made it very clear what's going on.
I know.
But then after that, there was a little bit of an encounter on the High Roller's table with a certain first mate, Modron, named Sphere 2.
Yes.
Anyone want to, you know?
I wasn't there for
recap
that.
Of what's going on there?
He was a gambler.
Yeah, he's a bit of a compulsive gambler, and he's been, you know, basically spending a whole bunch of days not doing his normal first mate job, but actually gaining a lot of
and
money.
And it's all Siona's fault.
Is it? What? Huh?
Because how Siona asked James to keep Sphere 2 distracted, so James got Sphere 2 to gamble, and then so Sphere 2 is gambling because of James, because of Siona.
Oh, so Siona.
Selena.
You
problem with me?
Siona's indirectly responsible for this entire debacle? Is that what you're suggesting?
That Selena wouldn't know
I think that Selena is just a little bit sore about not going to Lemuria.
It's interesting. I don't think I've ever really considered it from that perspective. But what we're going to do, I think, is we're going to switch scenes and back to Saltmarsh.
I tend to remember, just back to Sphere 2, that the company, Acquisitions Incorporated, the Golden Glory team, did not lose money on Sphere 2 gambling.
Oh, yeah. And that's actually very true. Yeah, because you kind of you out-bluffed him at the poker table, and you basically, you know, got him to commit to like a bigger number than he could actually afford. And you cleaned him out for almost like 3 months of wages, which you then basically took in into the Golden Glory coffers and, secured that away. So, yeah. So if he was doing okay, in the black for a little while, well, he's definitely in debt now.
Yeah, but that might encourage him to gamble more.
Oh, I wonder.
That's okay. I would be willing to bet on Theo.
I offer to say it'll just work for us. Be good here. Don't gamble anymore. Be our awesome first mate that we need you to be. Right. That was the deal that we sent him.
Okay. Well,
tables, do your job.
That, I mean, such a reasonable request, right? I mean, all he has to do is just do his job. Okay, well.
Yeah, but if he's truly addicted, that's going to be hard.
Oh, he might have an addictive personality?
We don't know.
I couldn't imagine creating a character like that.
Oh, no. I could imagine you creating a character like that.
He could always go for some, therapy or something. I hear that that's helpful.
Therapy.
Oh, maybe that will be your job, Siona.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I could play some soothing tunes, sure.
All right. So, meanwhile, back in Saltmarsh, Bobo, you've met up with these members of the presumed, Saltmarsh Thieves Guild, and you had an arrangement essentially that you could continue operating as an independent rogue within the Saltmarsh territory, and they wouldn't really do anything other than take a 10% cut in return for you agreeing to give them information on Golden Glory. Now, I don't think that they really specified what that is, but, I imagine you're going to have to interpret that in your own way. But in the meantime, time passes and, again, you're kind of in that dilemma. Your nest egg of funds is slowly, slowly ticking away. And, it's getting to the point where it's becoming a bit difficult. You have to really kind of ration and you have to count pennies unless you want to actually spend more than you were kind of budgeting. But something's come up. And every day you kind of, go down to the boardwalk area and, you stroll by and you hear the cry of the seagulls and the bustling of the traders and all the folks that are kind of hawking their wares. You pass by the sea bucks and you kind of debate with yourself. I mean, should you get a latte, a macchiato or a frappuccino? But then you're like, oh, you know what? I should probably just, save some pennies and stuff like that. But then you see on the job board, there is a temporary employment opportunity and it's posted by Acquisitions Incorporated. And it's actually saying meet at the Sea Bucks on the boardwalk. And it has a recruiter is D.B. Stinger, dress for success. And that's basically it. So I am hoping, or I'm presuming, that you might be interested in going to that particular meet, especially given that you don't have any real means of income at the moment, unless you want to do something else.
No, I'll go check it out.
Okay.
I'm going to a new opportunity.
All right. So, you kind of get to the Sea Bucks, and as usual, there's a bit of a line. There's one kind of half-orc gentleman who's getting a little bit, he's like taking his time, and people behind him are just getting really upset because he doesn't seem to be able to make up his mind whether he wants like whipped cream or he wants sprinkles. Does he want the pumpkin spice on the side? And he's just having a lot of difficulty kind of, you know, making up his mind. He's dressed in sort of, and it's weird because, I mean, it's sort of, you know, late summer type of thing approaching autumn. And I mean, it's relatively hot outside, but he's wearing like black, long, like leather armor that kind of trails down almost like a trench coat. I mean, he's a large for you know, like a humanoid, because he is half orcing. He's kind of burly, and his hair is kind of a little bit bedraggly and greasy, kind of black. Some of it sticks up, and other ones, you know, just kind of hangs like in front of his face, a little kind of emo bit. But finally, he actually grabs his you know, extra tall macchiato venti thing with the pumpkin spice. And then you can see that he kind of makes his way over to, you know, a small table. And he just seems to be looking around. What do you do?
I will walk over and introduce myself.
Oh, out of curiosity, did you change your dress at all? You know, like, it, you know, in response to the ad saying dress for success?
Sure. Yeah. I have suitable clothing for, you know, interviews. Like, so, yeah. So I change it to a business attire, casual attire.
Mm-hmm.
A cardigan.
Cardigan.
And I look like somebody who a bow tie.
A bow tie.
You have a bow tie for Bobo.
Yep.
Wow. Right. Interesting. Yes. Out of curiosity, does it have a pattern or a specific color? I mean, how do you present yourself?
An argyle type bow tie that matches my argyle sock.
Oh my gosh.
Black with purple and magenta. And gold.
Coconut.
Wow. Yeah, and you know what? I mean, it's pretty flashy, especially for like a tabaxi rogue who normally would probably not really stand out, that type of thing. But yeah, you're standing out right now. And in fact, it kind of draws his attention. And he kind of puts a hand through his long, greasy hair and brushes it back. It sort of sticks behind his kind of pointy green ear. And he says, Hey, man, are you like here for the you know, the job board kind of thing, man? Cause you look kind of really spiffy. And if you're saying, you know, dress for success, man, like, whoa, you're really making a statement. Like, what's your name?
The hobo.
You mean like you're homeless? Do you have a place of permanent residence, like?
Don't worry about all of that.
Oh, but it's
let's sit down and talk business.
Oh, absolutely. Do you want something to drink? I've got this wonderful here extra tall macchiato frappuccino blend with the pumpkin spice. It's to die for, man. It's like, wow, out of this world. It's almost like that time when I was told by, do you know Kit Nis, by the way? She's this.
I think I've heard the name somewhere.
Yeah, she's like this really mysterious Gloomstalker ranger. And once I was talking to her and she was telling me all about her kind of, you know, her studies, how she like studied herbalism for poisons and, you know, pharmaceuticals and stuff like that. And so she was telling me that I should explore that whole, you know, career path. But I just can't seem to make up my mind, man. Anyways,
jack of all trades, aren't you?
Oh, you know what? My mom wouldn't really say that I'm a jack. Well, you know how they say jack of all trades and master of none? Well, I suppose that's what my mom would say, because, you know, I've dabbled in little things here, but I just don't seem to really be able to find like the right, you know, it's just not me. I've tried different stuff. And then there was this Selena chick, and she was all dark and mysterious, and she was telling me, man, you got to try, like, the arcane arts. And she was suggesting, like, you know, the warlock path. And then I think I spoke to this, like, Theo guy. He was, like, some sort of, I don't know, cleric god dude. I don't remember what he told me. It was, like, too long time ago. But anyways, like, so just, we have so much richness of choice these days. Anyways,
Listen, I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm not trying to be, but I see a hole in this line over here, and I really, really want a praline latte, chestnut praline latte from C-Bucks. And so I'm going to jump in the line real quick.
Oh, you know what? No, no, no. Here, sit yourself down. We have special priority things. And it says, hey, Joe, you want to get one of those praline things over here for my friend? Yeah, okay, we'll do it like special order, okay? Oh, anything else you want? Like what kind of size, man?
Yeah, like a vent and extra milk.
Extra milk, man. You know, for like the felines. She's a tabaxi. Okay, thanks, Joe. All right, just bring it over whenever, okay? Thanks, man. Okay. All right. Oh, you know what? Silly me. Bad social skills. Bad, bad, my mom would say. I'm Drebus. Drebus Bee Stinger. Pleased to meet you. You know what? See, the thing is, I'm kind of new to this kind of line of work, like this whole recruiting thing. It's not my jam. Normally, we have this like gnome with the purple hair, what's her name again? Penelope. And she would normally do all this kind of stuff, but she hasn't like shown up to work for, you know, it's been almost like a week or so. So I don't know what's going on with her. Maybe she's on sabbatical or something. But anyways, I'm here to kind of talk about the temp employment opportunity with, and he looks at the paper, Acquisitions Incorporated. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's this one. Okay. So, why don't you?
Oh. Can I ask you a question?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, man. Anything. Anything, man.
I noticed that, like, most of the people in this area have, like, a different type of accent than you. Kind of like, more of a Celtic kind of accent. You have a very unique accent. Where are you from?
Oh, I'm kind of from all over the place. My mom's like a famous adventurer, and she just travels around, and she's like with this sea team, and she just kind of goes everywhere and stuff like that. And, you know, I've got my half brothers like all over the place and half sisters. I've just lost count. And so that's the thing, you know, I kind of grew up on my own, and I had to like teach myself to talk sometimes. But then, you know, every now and then my mom would come back. And so, yeah, I'm like from all over the place, but I kind of like Saltmarsh. I was in Marek for a little bit, but it's too big city for me. This is just like the right mix of like middle size, and you got the cool restaurants, you got Drawn Enterprises, and they're setting up shop, and they're really getting pretty good with their whole like luxury condo stuff, dude. But anyways, we're here to talk about the temp employment, thing. So are you interested?
Well, I don't know much about it.
Okay.
Why don't you tell me about it?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, and again, this is like, it's Penelope's area. I'm just subbing in, so I don't really have all the details. But there's money involved if you kind of complete it. And you're probably going to have to talk to, who's that dwarven lady again? Oh, yeah, Lady Duris Cragstone. And she's like a big muckety-muck in here in Saltmarsh. She's on the town council and stuff like that. And she wanted us to kind of meet up because we are having this problem with like a labor shortage with all the gnomes, man. Have you noticed? Like, oh, yeah, and that's the other thing, right? Like, oh, my gosh, Penelope is a gnome. I forgot all about that. And maybe, like, she hasn't shown up to work, and we're just looking for them and stuff like that. And so there's an extra bonus involved if you can find Penelope. And there's this other dude, Pog. He's a gnome, too. He's like a documancer or something. If you can find him, it's 1,000 gold pieces per gnome.
Well, you know, gnome lives matter, so...
That they do! Oh my god! You know what? Like, I've been thinking that, and, like, isn't that like a... That's a marketable tagline kind of thing, right? You could use it in a PR thing.
Yeah, put it on some t-shirts, you know, raise awareness for the shortage of gnomes in the area.
Yeah, well, you know what? You sound like a really promising candidate. Like, I love the critical thinking, the creativity, like on-the-spot analysis. It's cool. So it sounds like you're interested, eh? Now, you know that it could potentially, you know, I'm supposed to tell you this, you could potentially run into dangerous situations that might endanger life and limb. Are you okay with this?
Well, I laugh in the face of...
Okay, well, that's great, but I need, like, your legal signature. Like, can you write?
Yes, I can.
Okay, well, if you don't know how to write, it's okay. You don't have to sign. Like, you just put your paw print over here, and he kind of, you know, brings, like, this almost like an ink pad. It's like a sponge with some, you know, black ink in it, and he kind of shoves it over to you and indicates that, you know, you can either, you know, use a pen, like there's a quill that he has, or if you want to just do a paw print, just, like, put your paw print, put your, you know, your John Henry on this, like, sheet over here, and then sign over here and over here. And don't worry about the small print. That's just like kind of stuff that they do for like for rain and everything like that. It's just, it's normal standard verbiage.
I see. Sounds great.
All right. I like that. Person just willing to jump right in. That's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, really wait.
Do you pick the quill or do you pick the pauper?
Yeah.
Can't I do both?
You can absolutely do both. Yeah, that's cool. All right. So you kind of said, oh, wait a second. Oh, man, I think I'm getting this out of order. Okay, I shouldn't be, like, signing you on right away because I'm supposed to ask, like, certain questions. And here's the questions. Like, where do you see yourself in, like, 5 years, man?
Running the company.
Whoa, them some big ones you got there, man. Holy, like, you're talking like CEO level?
Yeah,
holy,
why not?
Holy moly, you have just got the, wow. Okay, well, I'm just going to check that one off for ambition. That's good. What's the kind of, you know, type of situation where you don't feel that you work at your best? Like, what would you say is kind of like your weakness?
I don't have a weakness.
Oh, you know, like, everybody's got a weakness, even if it's a weakness for extra venti macchiato with the double cream. I mean, that's my weakness.
Okay, well, if talking that, then it's chestnut praline latte. For me.
And with that, the chestnut praline latte arrives on as if on cue. And, you know, this kind of tall half elf kind of steps up and you're like, oh, here it is. Do you need a stopper with that?
Nope.
All right. Okay. Well, you have a nice day now.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's it, man. That's all the questions. Oh, actually, one more question, right? What do you actually do? Like, what's your, like, career aspiration? Like, I mean, your career path, you know, it's 'cause, like, I'm just trying to figure out maybe there's another thing for me. Like, I don't know, like selling real estate or something, but, you know, just tell me, you know, what you do and what you find so cool about it so that, you know, is it something that I should try out?
Life coach.
Oh, life coach.
Very unique niche in life coach.
Like, what's a life coach, man? I don't even know what that is. Like, is it one of the 13 approved classes?
My profession.
Uh-huh.
Allows to improve the lives of others in an unconventional way.
Uh-huh. And what do you get at your advancement at fourth level? I just have never heard of this class before, man. Maybe it's one of those obscured unearthed arcana kind of things. Anyways, whatever. That sounds cool. That's good. All right. Well, you know what? You're in. And then, okay. Well, just, you know, on the hour of the marmot, go over to, our kind of recruiting offices. They're down on 4th Street over there, just up the way. And, hopefully we're going to hook you up with the rest of the team. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right.
Although, I do have a question.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm supposed to be open to questions. Penelope, she told me about it. Like sometimes the candidates, they ask questions about, you know, the company and that sort of thing. Yeah. So ask away, man.
So, talking about, keep mentioning a team.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, you have to be like a team player, man.
Team player.
Uh-huh. Is that going to be a problem?
No. Okay. Like, is it a big team, a small team?
Well, we're talking about, like, you know, this is like a search and investigation kind of opportunity. So it's got to be big enough to be able to, you know, maneuver in secrecy and kind of find out some cool stuff and even split up if you need to. We're not talking like a big invading army or nothing, that kind of team. I'd say it's like nimble, man.
That sounds right up my alley.
All right. That's cool. So yeah, like I've got some other interviews to kind of run. You enjoy your praline whatever latte. And then, we'll see you over in the recruiting office and then we'll hook you up with the team. Okay.
Beautiful. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Hobo. See ya.
See ya.
Theo.
By the way, I just like to say that, Dream is sounding more and more like, Cheech.
Cheech and Chong. Yeah, man. Oh my gosh. So Theo, I'm going to say that so the business for the day is effectively over. And I mean, ship continues to sail on its way. Business kind of happens as usual. Is there anything in particular you kind of want to work on before you actually get to Lemuria? I remember you mentioning that you were, you know, maybe going to get started on a scroll or something like that. So just wanted to check to see if, you know, that was still the plan or what did you want to do?
Yeah, I am 100% going to be, working on scroll. I think the scroll that I had wanted to work on was, oh my goodness. I see. I had it figured out last time. I'll come back.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you need to sleep on it a little, eh?
Well, you know, the problem is I woke up like literally 6 minutes before we,
you personally.
Yeah.
Me personally.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
So,
well, grab yourself a coffee, man. It's like caffeine. It kind of stimulates the senses.
Kinda. Yeah, true.
Do you need me to switch to a different player? Because I can...
Maybe I'll come back to me in like a couple minutes here. I'll be
all right, fine. No
maybe
problem.
Maybe Turin, because he has to...
Oh, right, Turin. Too. Well, actually, I don't have anything for Turin at the moment, so I'm going to go to Selena.
Okay.
Night passes as usual.
Yeah.
And as usual, as is your lot, as is your fate and your talent, you experience another dream.
Isn't that two on the same night?
Let's say that this is like the next night.
Okay.
Or I mean, because we did actually pass through to the next day.
Yeah.
And that's when we had this whole conflict.
Oh, okay.
So it's effectively the next night and one more day until actually getting to Lemuria.
Okay.
So in that dream, you see, a lithe, cloaked, elven female warrior with a hand crossbow at her side, a longbow on her back, a quiver of arrows. And you realize as the hood kind of, you know, turns towards you, you see kind of an eye patch, definitely a drow. And then, of course, you recognize this is Kit Nyss. And Kit Nyss is making hand gestures, and she sort of, you know, make some symbols that you, do you speak drow at all or thieves cant or anything like that? Yeah, you don't quite understand what it is that she's doing, but she's clearly signaling. And then you can see her kind of point her finger and pump her fist twice. And then she, you know, opens it up into another kind of signal and flicks her finger a little bit. And then you can see some shadows sort of move just to the side of her. And you realize as you kind of gaze closer that they're not shadows, they're actually moving people. And it is a small squad of very, like, armed to the teeth infiltration stealth mission of drow elves. Like, it's like a little war party. And then you realize...
And what are they infiltrating?
So you look around and you're just kind of taking a look at the territory and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, Kitness' hand goes up and all of a sudden they all freeze. And when they do, it's almost like they blend completely in with the surroundings. And it takes you a while to even like adjust, and you have to squint a little bit. And, you know, you're lucky that like one of them moves and you can kind of see the outline. It's almost like for a second, they just blended right in into the rocks. And they like disappeared for a second. And then Kit Nyss moves and her hood kind of is fully revealed to you. And you can see that she definitely has like a large eye patch that's kind of covering her. And you can see that there is a huge scar that's going almost vertically, you know, that's kind of going over the area of her face where the eye patch is. Mm-hmm. So almost like there's a big slash maybe in her eye or whatever. Okay. And it kind of, you know, it definitely, you know, it impacts what is her usual quite delicate and beautiful features. But she frowns for a second, and all of a sudden she reaches for an amulet on her chest, and then it glows and flares with the light. And then you can see her like lick a finger, and then almost like she's smelling something. And then you can see another one of these drow sort of say something with their hand, and you interpret it as like they're in agreement, and Kit Nyss seems to have found something. And she looks at a bit of the trail below and moves a bit of a rock. And she brings and gingerly flicks something with like a little dagger and smells it for a second. And then all of a sudden she shifts her head almost like she scented and detected prey. And then she licks the edge of the knife and you can see blood kind of spurt. And she like licks her lips, swallows the blood. And then you can see this vein sort of pulse up her neck and into her forehead. And she sheathes the dagger into her thing. And then they start moving forward. What do you do?
I follow them.
All right. Can you roll stealth for me, please?
Sure. Oh, here it goes.
Ah, Tailspur's not working.
13. Yet.
13. Okay. You try to follow them, but they're so stealthy and there's something about their cloaks, the way they move, and they just kind of shift. All you can see is these slight waverings of movement in the air next to the rock, but it's also really dark down here and you're just having difficulty. But then you hear this rasping sound behind you and something weird happens, like you get this weird sense of tingling, like something is watching you.
Behind me?
Maybe, yeah, possibly.
I look behind me.
You look and you just see the passageway that you just came out of. But wait a second. Whoa, whoa. Something shadowy just shifted back there. And it's, nope. It, no, you can't, damn it. It.
Light, dancing lights.
Oh, poof. The light comes out and then you see nakedness in front of you with a warband of six drow, their weapons raised, and the arrow is pulled back. You can see her eye light up with a glint as they aim the arrows at you. And the arrow flies towards you. And before it hits, you wake up. Do you scream?
I'm going to control my scream this time.
Roll a constitution check, please.
Oh, man. 18.
Okay. You manage to choke it down. Like, you feel your throat kind of rise a little bit. And, like, I mean, the scream almost comes out, but you manage to kind of clamp down on it.
And my heart rate is...
Yeah. I mean, you're sweating, you're perspiring, and, you know, yet again, you kind of wake up. And you can hear outside, you know, the waves lapping.
Yeah.
And you also hear some noise outside in the main corridor area. Siona.
Yeah.
You get a sending message from Bumbletum. And he says...
Oh, my dear friend Bumbletum.
Really?
Tell me, Bum.
Oh, really?
Hi. Hello. 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 How are you?
Now, remember, sending is a one-way response spell, limited 25 words, so it's not like a normal conversation. And okay. So as you basically access the message, really? Really? I have to be your messenger service? Got this message from Bonnie for inventory requisition for Lemuria. Your operation? Deal with it. And you also hear a bunch of noise outside your room.
What the hell? Inventory requisition? What do these words even mean? Did he send anything else? Is there...
Nope, that's it. Now, you can reply to the message, and you can reply with like 25 words. Is there anything you want to say in response?
Yes. My dear tummy bum... Please requisition the inventory as requested. Thank you very much.
Almost immediately, you get another ping. Not my job, Siona. Do yours.
Tell me, Bob. Do we have a problem?
5 minutes. Now... In that 5 minutes, you hear that there's an increasing hubbub outside in the hallway. Theo and yeah. Edith, you hear this too, right? It's like there's a bunch of people that have kind of, you know, gathered in the hallway and they're just rummaging about. And in fact, you kind of hear, it's hard to hear from behind the doors, but it's like chanting or something.
Okay. I'm hearing the same.
Sorry, could you repeat?
Are they chanting Serene's name?
In fact, yes. You hear it. And I mean, you hear like some of the catechisms. Chaos lives among the stars, but Serene's light will show us the way. And then, you know, you hear this chorus, Serene's light, blessed be. And then another voice, this time female. Praise Serene. Light and dark are but opposite sides of the same coin. Praise Serene. And like, I mean, it's a hubbub of many, many voices definitely filling, and it's getting louder and louder, right? And there's just clamoring that happens outside. Siona, do you still want to kind of, you know, attend to or reply to Bumbletum at all?
I'm going to step out and see what's happening with this new cult that Theo is forming.
Yeah, and you know what?
He will receive his practitioners.
And as you kind of step out, like, they, like, bow into, like, it's like,
And I start to lift them up. You do not bow.
But we are the followers. We are the acolytes of Argent Flame. Brother Theo, guide us with your wisdom to today. How can we be blessed with Cyrene's light?
Only by Theo himself can you be blessed by Cyrene's light. And here he is to offer his blessings. And I launch into a song about how wonderful Theo is and how only Theo can help them.
I rip the lute out of her hand, like, don't you dare.
No. Okay.
I would like to evade that.
Yeah, okay, yeah. This definitely becomes a contest now. Okay. Edith, are you doing anything? Like, your beauty rest is definitely being disturbed here. There's all these people kind of singing and chanting inside a really tight little corridor. What do you do?
I go into the hall and then I yell.
What do you yell?
All this weird cult stuff. At least go to top deck so I can finish my sleep.
Okay.
We have Apple on board. I don't know why they're not there.
All right. So I believe, even though I'm not saying it's a combat situation, I believe we need to roll for initiative. So please roll for initiative.
Oh, great. Theo with a minus one.
That's okay. I only got 14.
Oh, I got 14.
Ooh, it's a tie.
I guarantee that.
Okay. And Edith, what?
Plus three.
What did you get?
Oh, I didn't know it was supposed to roll.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, everyone is inside this hallway. Basically, the entire throng of the cultist. Theo.
I'm not first.
You're not first? Okay. All right. So who has the higher dexterity of those who rolled the 14? Theo or Siona?
Has 16.
Sure, yeah. Siona.
Okay. All right. So Siona, you can go first. What is it that you do?
I cast fly. And I continue my song about how wonderful Theo is.
Okay, so she like rises.
And seek a blessing from him.
And then they look.
Immediately after, because we have almost the same initiative here.
Okay.
So like she barely gets off the ground. She pulls out her lute, right, you know, and immediately after Theo, right, you know, from the dimly lit hallway, cast fly upon himself as his class feature and he's not going to try to take the loot away, but he's going to try to like hold her in such a way that she can't play the loot.
Well, here's the thing, right? It takes one action to basically activate the spell. I don't know, Siona, is yours like it's a loot? Is it an action or is it a bonus action?
Let me just check.
Yeah, so we're going to play this, you know, by the book here.
Okay. But I would also whisper, like, don't praise me. It is not Serene's will that I be worshipped.
It's an action.
It is an action. Okay, so basically both of you...
And I have 60 feet flying speed.
Okay. So then, you know, it is your action to fly. And then, I mean, you're in a very tight corridor. I mean, it's probably tops 30 to 40 feet in kind of length, maybe 20 feet tops, you know, of width. But it's jam-packed, almost toe-to-toe with cultists everywhere. So, you know, the best you could do is you could fly up above them and you could either, you know, like, I guess the question is, are you staying within the hall?
I'm going to go to the end of the hall and sing and then start my song from there.
Okay. So the hall basically, you know, if we assume that the ship is oriented kind of north-south, to the north is the boardroom. Okay. And to the south is the exit back onto the main deck. Which direction do you go?
Towards the deck.
Okay. So you're going backwards. Okay. So Theo, are you following her?
So I cast Steps of Night to make me fly as a bonus action.
Okay.
Right? And if this hallway is only like 30 feet, I'm going to go after her. I am going to try to grapple her in such a way that she can't play the lute. And I'm just going to very nicely say, do not have them praise me. It's not...
Okay, so then, yeah, we'll do the grapple action. And I guess that's a contested athletics check, right? So go ahead and do your...
She needs to do athletics or acrobatics, her choice. I do athletics.
Okay, so go ahead with that roll. So Siona, this is a contested roll. So you try to evade it either through acrobatics or athletics. Please make your roll.
That'll be acrobatics.
Okay.
Oh, that's a sucky roll. 12.
17.
Okay. So he has the advantage. He's effectively grappled you and is kind of holding you in space. And even though you're both aloft, I mean, he's kind of, you know, basically stopped your movement.
Theo has blood.
Okay. Now, sorry, I do need to ask, Edith, what did you actually roll as an initiative?
3 plus what?
Okay, so it's a 3. Okay, that's fine. So then the cultists all react in like, they are flying! They are blessed by Serene's light! Praise Serene! And then they, you know, they drop down and they're like bowing now in front of you. See the miracle! See the wonder! We are blessed by Serene's light! Oh, praise! That's the...
Fiona, can you help me get them to, like, the chapel of the boat?
Oh, they'll follow your orders willingly. You just have to ask.
Okay, to the chapel, everyone, right now.
All right. So, they stay kind of prostrate, and they're kind of waiting for you to, you know, show them where to go. What path do they follow?
Are you coming with me, Selena? Fiona, I mean? Are you coming with me, Fiona?
Are you letting me free, or am I...
Yeah, I'll let you free. Come on, go. Let's fly there, because they'll follow us if we fly.
Sure.
All right. So you basically kind of exit now. So you exit out to the one area, and I'm going to have to say that... Where would the chapel be?
Next to or near the gambling den.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you basically kind of, you know, go downstairs and, you know, I'm going to shift my map a little bit. I'm basically going to say that the shrine is near the bar and the elevator. Okay. So if you make your way over past the high rollers area and you kind of shift your way south and you go past all the slot machines, there's this kind of, there's a table, stairs, there's like a fireplace, and there's a bar. But if you head over, and I will indicate it with the circle, hopefully you guys can actually see this, over here, that is, there's like a fireplace shrine over area, right? So basically now this entire area is completely swamped and surrounded by people everywhere. And you notice actually, standing near to the bar, kind of clutching, a series of like, books and ledgers and stuff like that is TH30. And he is, you know, scribbling in his notes, fascinating. His eyes are, you know, swerving back and forth, looking at, you know, all of this stuff going on. And he is just like, you know, Siona is flying. So is Theo, you know, and he's just like totally amazed. And then, you know, the bartender's like, oh, get your, you know, your best bull here. If you want some best bull to quench your thirst, you can just kind of line up over here. And then a young sort of halfling woman sort of steps forward, and you can see that she's actually changed into robes that are kind of, you know, light and a little bit diaphanous. And she kind of steps forward, and her hands are like open, almost in like, you know, acceptance. And she walks forward, you know, really gracefully towards the area that you're in, Theo. What do you do?
I greet her. It's Serene's light. Welcome.
I am welcome by your blessing, Brother Theo. Please, we and the flock wish to be educated and enlightened in the way of Serene. We have been blessed by your actions and the actions of Golden Glory in freeing us and showing us the light. We only wish to follow in your footsteps and serve the path of righteousness.
No, this is a bona fide religion. Okay, so I think at this point, Theo's going to get everyone kind of in, settled down a bit, right? And he's going to start his preaching administrations here. And while, like, you know, Theo has spouted off, like, these one-liners that help him remember a lot of the tenets, right? I think this is about properly giving one's praise where it actually belongs.
Okay.
Not on acolyte. I just like all of them are still in service to the.
And sorry, just a question to Edith, actually, and I'm not sure, Turin, are you still there, or you might have stepped out? So Edith, everyone has kind of left the area, and if you want to stay behind and just go back to sleep, you totally can, or you can kind of follow the throng and, you know, just let me know what's happening.
I go back to bed.
Okay. All right, that's fine. And, you know, they are just like every word that you mutter, they are like, you know, mouthing to themselves. They're kind of, you know, doing weird kind of hand gestures and things like that. So why don't you roll, tell me what you want to roll. Like, are you trying to persuade them, deceive them? What exactly are you trying to do?
Teach them.
Okay. So I'm going to say that this is a persuasion roll. I'm going to say that you definitely have advantage on the roll, just given, you know, who you are. So tell me how you did with your roll. And Siona, are you doing anything either to help or hinder?
At this point, I'm just observing.
Okay.
That advantage, I appreciate that. One's a nat 20. Woo!
Okay. All right. So what's your core message that, you know, what is it exactly? What lesson do you want to sink in?
Given that their reaction is, you know, I think the lesson I want them to sink in is to not praise false idols, but to actually make sure Serene is deceiving your gratitude in.
But that the
it's through these actions that she will guide your way.
But Brother Theo, you have been our guide. We wish to follow in your footsteps, for we do not know the way of Cyrene. We are new to this knowledge, new to this belief. How are we to?
I may be your guide to Cyrene, but I am not the one to pray. Guiding you to Cyrene is me serving. That you serve in the ways that you know how.
But isn't that the thing which we are seeking enlightenment? You are our prophet. You are our example. You were the one whose words protected us and freed us. We are just lowly individuals on this new path. How are we?
That is only possible because of the power in the great south. I am merely the tool and the vessel that she uses. I am not the power. I am merely the manifestation.
Well, all the more the reason why we must follow in your footsteps and understand your way. See, this is what is
I can see the clear difference here is that you are out front of my door and praising me for all these things Green has applied. Why aren't you here, Serene's idol, thanking her? And then why aren't you going out, you know, why aren't you going out? I mean, I get we're on a boat. Why aren't you preparing that when you go out and then see those around you, that you can be the example Serene needs you to be?
And there's this kind of hush that comes over.
I point to like the by the idol, right? There's like a few extra copies of Serene's Book of Tenets.
Okay.
Right? You know, Book of Teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Parables. Those kind of things, yep. Right? You know, it says this material is here supplied so that you may borrow it and earn it. Leisure. This is, and we're on this boat, this is excellent time for you to really read the word for yourself. You know, and I administer a sermon every day.
And we will attend it faithfully.
I think that you're getting things a little twisted. You're sending your praise to me and not.
Are we to become missionaries then? Go out into the world and spread the light of Serene? Is that is what our calling should be? If we are not to follow you, what is it that we should do then?
I think if you read some of the words of Serene, your calling might be revealed, and she guides in her own way and her own time. And some of you may be called to mission. Some of you may be called to stay upon the sea. Some of you may be called to help the needy when back in Saltmar. Some of you, right? You know, Serene is a lot about community. Right? You know, Serene is a lot about caring for the world around us, caring for things.
So
that's the part you're missing.
So you, the words sink in. I mean, they are very attentive to what you're saying. And you can see that probably about three quarters of them understand what you're saying. There are others who, you know, maybe they're just slower or maybe they're just less sure about themselves. And they kind of feel that, you know, they want to follow somebody because they don't really know any better. But the majority of them kind of take that in. And in fact, you can see a bunch, you know, they're going up, they're inspecting sort of the altar. They're looking at the books and the readings and things like that. And you're just kind of passing it around. And basically that moment of what I, you know, I think you put it well, like idolatry, where they were putting you above them, that seems to have passed. That seemed to have, you know, that you've shaken them out of that sense of worshiping you. And really it's bringing them more back into trying to understand the teachings of Cyrene for themselves. Now you can see that there's that small, you know, that 25%, that quarter, that they're just really confused and they seem lost. And, you know, you've met these types of folks before in your own training and in seminary, right? There are just some people who they need to follow others. They're just not even able to take their own initiative. They kind of depend on other people. And you're not even sure that, at least in the short term, that would even change with them, right? This is just a condition associated with their personality.
Sure. But, you know, I think that because I probably do like a half hour.
Okay. Well, and Siona, what?
I think I would like find ways to maybe reach out to them.
Okay. So Siona, what do you do as the scene starts to kind of shift, right? Clearly, Theo has taken things, you know, in a very different direction. And you're actually pretty impressed with his oratory. And what started out as something that was this kind of blind faith obedience thing, he's actually turned it around. And people are now approaching their worship and their faith in a considered, almost intelligent manner. It's actually pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Siona's fine with that. She just lets it be. Yeah, she has nothing further. She's just kind of like looking at her nails and, you know, fixing her hair and just thinking about what she, maybe can compose a new song in her head or something. She's not really paying it too much attention at this point.
Okay, that's cool. All right. Now, when things start kind of dying down a little bit and it's definitely turned away, like, so Theo, you kind of stop your sermon, things kind of return to a relative sense of normalcy. There's still a lot of people gathered in this area, but they now start to kind of filter away. You can see a whole bunch are actually going to the slot machines and they're starting to kind of play those and things like that. And you know, they're just, you know, trying to enjoy themselves. You can see others kind of go to a different level, etc. And then TH30 approaches both of you, you know, sort of nearby the area that you're kind of standing. And he kind of says, "Good morning, I am TH30. Good day to you. That was a most fascinating exchange. All these things that you are showing me, I am learning so much about the living condition. And I never dreamed that it would be so diverse and so interesting."
I must thank you.
Most welcome, yes.
Mr. Theo, I have just come back from seeing Ms. Stormy, as you instructed, and she reminded me to tell you that we will be convening soon for our board meeting, and she wanted me to confirm the agenda items with anyone if you had anything in particular. So, Miss Siona, Mr. Theo, did you need anything added to the agenda? There are these items to...
CH30, what is currently on the agenda?
Well, there is a general review of ship's operations and employee morale. Stormy would like to discuss the financial review and fund allocations. Canty suggested... but she would like your input on this. We should discuss the disciplinary actions for Sphere 2.
Siona just sniggers. She says, I do have one thing I'd like to add to the list. Something about Bumbletum saying something about an inventory requisition. I don't know. Has Bonnie sent anything through? We should discuss that.
Very well. You wish to discuss inventory requisitions from Bonnie?
Correct.
And who, pray tell, is Bonnie?
Anything documents it.
Hey?
We should make sure Bonnie understands policies and procedures.
Oh, very well.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. 100%. Mm-hmm. Those are very important. Very important.
Is this a personnel issue or more of a policy issue?
I don't know that it is an issue. It's just something that we need to figure out. Apparently, we have an inventory requisition, and Bumbletum doesn't want to help us with it.
I see. Oh, okay. Very well, then. And where do you wish this agenda on the main docket? Is it the first item for discussion, or do we proceed with the financial and operations review, or the disciplinary action?
I suppose we should probably start with the disciplinary action, as that seems to be, it'll probably be the elephant in the room. But we have to get through everything. So,
it's been told last and first. That's awesome.
Miss Siona,
yes?
You have said something very concerning about an elephant. I understand an elephant is a large pachyderm-like mammal that weighs several tons and is gigantic. Are you telling me that this elephant is on the ship? In the room?
It is.
Where? This is amazing. Where is the elephant? I must find this creature.
So the sooner that we have our meeting, the sooner the elephant will just disappear. It's an invisible elephant.
Oh.
But it will go away after we have this conversation.
I do not understand, but I will trust in what you are saying for the moment, but I am most curious to look for said elephant.
TH30.
Yes, Master Theo.
Because we're on the topic of elephant, we heard when we were in Lemuria, there might be, like, elephant humanoid somewhere in this world. Do you know anything of that?
Validating, I believe you refer to the Loxodon. They are a form of erect pachyderms that are very large in stature and bulk. It is said that they...
Do you know where we would find, like, general Loxodon civilization?
Oh, most certainly, sir. My data information repository indicates that they reside in the area of the world called the Grey Marches. This is to the south of the Empire of Erewhon. Their main locations appears to be a centralized community or city called Stonesong, but there are also other cities along the coast and near the mountains. One is called Skysong, and the other one is Seastone. I believe those are the primary communities in which the Loxodon reside.
Okay, Very good. Do we know if they're in trouble?
Define trouble, sir.
Well, I mean, when we found out that they existed in Lemuria, it was in context to Lemuria going through illness across the land directly with the queen.
Oh, and you must remember, sir.
Already happened there, or maybe already cured there? We don't really know.
I am querying my own personal database, but I must remind you, sir, that I was created in the forges of the Underdark, and so what knowledge I have in my repository is purely speculative as to its accuracy. It is possible that the Loxodon populations have long since fallen due to the collapse of their civilization. I do not really know. I only have this point of information in my knowledge databank.
I just figure that what you know might be highly more accurate because you were created.
I have no way to prove or disprove that, sir, but I am sure if I encounter new information that will disprove this particular hypothesis, then I will be able to make that determination for you in a more conclusive fashion.
Excellent.
Oh, should I go speak to Ms. Selena and Ms. Edith, or even Master Turin, about agenda items for the board meeting?
I think that's wise.
We're having a board meeting.
You have a polite knock on your door.
Okay, come in.
It is I, TH30.
Hi, TH30.
Hello.
How can I help you?
Oh, I have just come from speaking with Masters Theo and Mistress Siona, and we were discussing the agenda docket items for the board board meeting that will be occurring shortly. And I was tasked to query if you had any agenda items to add.
What are the agenda items?
The first agenda item, and this has been corrected, we will be discussing disciplinary measures for Sphere 6. And then
Sphere 6.
No, Sphere 2. My apologies. I do not know how that slipped into my mind. But yes, disciplinary action for Sphere 2. And
why
then,
does he need disciplinary action?
I do not know. I was just told to add it to the agenda.
Okay.
There is also a financial and operations review. I believe they are going to be talking about casino revenue. And Ms. Siona also wanted to talk about an inventory requisition.
We have an inventory requisition?
Apparently. Or she wants to talk about it.
Okay.
Do you have anything else you would wish
That's
to
it?
Add? That is it.
How about... I don't know. I don't think that I have anything else to
Very talk. Well. Nothing to add to the agenda docket. Have a nice day. I will see you in 2 hours.
Okay.
Edith.
What?
Don't even open the door.
Miss Edith, it is I, TH30.
What do you need? Gotta sleep here.
I most apologetic for disturbing your rest, but I was instructed by Masters Theo and Mr. Siona to determine if you had any agenda items to add to the board meeting.
Need to figure out how to get more chicken on the boat.
More chicken on the boat. Very well. Should this item precede the discussion of the top item, which is discipline for Sphere 2?
Yes, absolutely.
Very well. It will be the first item on the docket. Thank you. Will there be anything else?
No.
We shall see you. The meeting is in the boardroom in 2 hours. Have a nice day. All right, Trundle's off. Meanwhile, back in Saltmarsh. All right, Bobo. The time comes, kind of a couple hours kind of pass, and you make your way over to the stated location, which is sort of a combination between a warehouse and sort of like an office kind of staging area. It's a little bit into some of the you know, it's outside of the boardwalk area. It's a little bit closer to, you know, that section of town. There's a lot of kind of mercantile commerce and stuff like that. It's a little bit on the rundown side. It's almost like there's like a small acquisitions kind of wooden sign that, you know, is hanging a little bit, you know, askew. And you basically, you know, there's like a small wooden door that leads into that kind of entranceway. It's not really an impressive building in any sense or fashion. It just appears to be, you know, just really utilitarian. What do you do?
Well, first of all, coming from the meeting that I went to, I stop in clothes, something more appropriate.
Okay.
So now I'm in more casual jean, t-shirt kind of deal, leather cloak, you know, kind of more appropriate, you know.
Okay. Can I ask approximately, okay, so first, where do you go in order to procure these goods? Or is it something that you already have in your, you know, bug out bag type of thing?
In my backpack.
Okay. So these are clothes that you already own. Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. I have a hooded cloak on, you know, be a little bit mysterious.
Okay. Cool.
And I had them in my backpack and I stopped off at like a public restroom type of deal and like,
okay, cool. I want you to make, I think the appropriate role here is performance. Not in the sense that you're performing, but, you know, dressing in a way is a form of performance because you need to adjust things and to make them. I just want to see how well put together you are and also just trying to figure out, like, I mean, you know, you've been living out of a bag for a while. So, you know, how good is your outfit really? So if you can just give me a performance role, please include your proficiency if you have it or any modifiers.
Before I roll,
uh-huh.
I just want to know also descriptive. My cloak has eyes on.
Oh, is it a magical item?
Yes.
It is. Okay. So I wasn't aware of that. And what does that do? Is it like the robe of eyes?
It's the robe of eyes.
Okay. And just tell me, just to remind me, what does it do again exactly?
Theo, read that.
So it says, it's adorned with eye-like pattern. While you wear the robe, it lets you see in all directions.
Yep.
You have advantage on perception checks that rely on sight.
Amazing.
Gives you dark vision to 120 feet.
Wow.
And you can see invisible creatures as well as into the ethereal plane out to a range of 120 feet.
That is incredible. Wonderful. Okay, that's pretty cool.
The robe cannot be closed or averted. Although you can close your own eyes, you are never considered to be doing so while wearing this. If you cast a light spell on the robe or daylight within 5 feet, you potentially can be blinded.
Okay.
Constitution.
Understand. That is a really cool magic item. I love it. Okay. So you have your robe of eyes and the rest. Give me that roll, please. In fact, I'm going to give you that roll with advantage because of that cloak, because you're more perceptive about how you kind of look and things like that. So better able to adjust.
What? 14 plus
performance.
4, so 18.
18, okay. So yeah, you're looking pretty good. All right, so you kind of head over and, you know, you've got your kind of attire on and, you know, before you kind of swings the sign of Acquisition Incorporated, recruiting and operations, and there's a small kind of wooden, you know, handle to the door.
Okay. I turn the handle, lock the door.
Okay. It's a little bit on the creaky side. And you kind of step in and, you know, especially as a rogue, you are very attuned to like squeaky floors, right? And all of the floors are kind of, you know, sodden wood and they're kind of, you know, creaking a little bit. And, you know, as you kind of move through, did you want to try and be stealthy or are you just going to go with it and just, you know, have your feet kind of, you know, appear naturally?
I'm always kind of stealthy.
Okay. Okay, so what I'm going to say is that, like, I mean, you sort of test the waters and you understand that, you know, if you kind of shift your weight a little bit, you know, it's going to be a lot less squeaky, and you actually kind of pick your way amongst the, you know, the pathway, sort of almost intuitively sensing where to step so as to not kind of create, much of a noise. I'd like you to make a perception check, please.
Oh, I was just going to ask. Okay.
And perception is at advantage, correct?
Yeah, because
of the robe of the eyes.
18 plus.
Uh-huh.
4.
18 plus 4? Okay. So you beat my roll. Now, something about, the robe of the eyes that allows you to kind of, you know, see past and, you know, see different things. You see just beside, it's like a water cooler or something near to like a statue. And there is a small-ish form of a humanoid that is basically, you know, staying stock still. It or she has kind of a heavy cloak on, and their hands are kind of folded in front of their kind of chest, and, you know, basically not moving. But you are able to detect it using your magical senses, and you realize that, you know, whatever this is, it's attempting to hide, in plain sight, essentially. What do you do?
So I'm going to, I'd like to go check it out. I'm going to, I'd like to go check it out.
Okay. So you kind of move towards the side, and I mean, it is actually very skillfully placed in the shadows. And if it weren't for you and sort of your keen senses and the magical robe, you probably would have just walked right by. But clearly it is there, and you can see it. Its form is a little bit on the hazy side. Now you can see it almost looks kind of goblin-esque. It's just a lot taller than most goblins that you know, because goblins typically are quite short. This is almost like a goblin that's sort of stretched. It sort of has that kind of, green skin, and it's just kind of blending in with the cloak and a little strand of dark hair just kind of dripping down. Now you can see that although it is looking at you and it knows that you can see it, it's like trying to stay as still as possible, almost to kind of, you know, as if she doesn't move or if it does not move, maybe it won't be seen. What do you do?
I'm like naive about the situation.
Uh-huh.
And say, hi, I'm a new recruit. I'm here for the job. Are you the receptionist?
And she puts her finger to her lips and says, shh, nothing to see here. Ain't nobody here but us chickens. Shh. Ding, 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 ding. The bell rings on the door and it kind of swings open, and a small little hand kind of pushes the door open, and walking inside is a very colorfully dressed gnome, female, I believe. Laurelis, will you describe yourself?
Laurelis is,
sorcerer.
Gnome sorcerer.
Wild magic sorcerer.
Okay. She's a little disheveled. I don't remember what she looked
and
like.
And she kind of comes in. She has like, you know, purple hair and like a lot of her colors and everything like that are just like really flowing.
Yeah.
And she kind of waves this wand with a crystal tip on top of it, and she says, everything must shimmer. And this like little blinking light just kind of, you know, swirls around the room, and it's like a prestidigitation thing. And like all of a sudden, like, you know, the darkness and the shadowy ambiance all of a sudden flips glitters all over all of you. And on top of this kind of weird, you know, slim but tall goblin, like it covers her. And, you know, you can all of a sudden see, like, you know, you are sort of coated in this, like, you know, this glitter pattern, which kind of reveals a little bit more. Make a dexterity save for me. It's basically a fairy fire spell. I want to see whether or not it catches or not.
Save.
What'd you get?
12.
12. 12 is not enough, and you find yourself coated in this shimmering kind of, you know, iridescent light that is just surrounding you, and also this kind of weird goblin-esque girl, and, like, she's looking around, she's like, shh, don't tell anybody, there's nothing to see here. Ding, 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 ding. Another kind of, you know, a bell kind of walks in, and now this is accompanied, you know, and again, kind of small statured, but like a gauntleted armored glove sort of swings open and clank, clank, very confident, powerful steps. In comes an armor-plated female gnomish warrior with a huge kind of shield and like a, you know, it looks like a long sword, but on the gnome, it's almost like a two-handed sword and just really resplendent looking. Camille Duarc, what do you do when you kind of get in? And you can see like there's this glowing kind of fairy fire energy kind of surrounding, you know, and it's being caused by this gnome sorceress in the middle. And there is this like tabaxi rogue all, you know, illuminated and this weird kind of goblin-esque person. And they're all like, you know, caught within the fairy fire. What do you do? What do you say?
Oh,
I think Sarah might have her making.
My goodness, what is going on here?
All must glitter.
and then, like, the goblin's like, "Shh, you didn't see anything. There's nothing here. Nothing here to see."
You tell me the truth now, little one.
I thought you were French.
What's going on here?
There we go. That's the accent I was looking for. Shh, nothing to see here. Okay, then ding, 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 ding. Coming inside, another, okay, not a gnome this time, but still short, is like a sort of halfling warrior with a spear and sort of a blonde ash goatee. And he kind of wanders in and he's like, excuse me, is this Acquisitions Incorporated for the temporary work assignment? Hello?
Hello?
Oh.
And sorry, who are you?
I am Brambleton, Bee Stinger.
Bee Stinger?
Sorry, I stutter. So it's just Bee Stinger.
And Camille tries to pull herself up to her full short height and tower over him. Though I don't think she's quite tall enough to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, gnomes are actually racially the smallest race. So yes, you do kind of like, you know, pull yourself up or whatever, but it doesn't really help your height. He's actually just like, you know, maybe an inch taller than you. So I guess a question for Bobo, there's all these weird characters. You are illuminated by this light that you don't seem to be able to escape. And there's all these kind of people going, you know, in the room and everything like that. And that halfling, he says, I'm here for the team kickoff session for the temporary work assignment. Are you guys here for the same thing?
I think you're in the right place. That's what we're here for. That's what I'm here for.
What?
Justice for gnomes.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's something about gnome lives matter or something.
That's correct. Because gnomes are important.
That's right.
Oh, I don't see that this goblin here. No, I don't see her, but I see a giant cat. Hello. Hi, kitty. I'm a Brambleton Bee Stinger. Pleased to meet you. Sorry about the stutter.
What stutter? Didn't notice.
Oh, yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, and another gnome walks in. Like, there's no problems with gnomes in this particular room. And in comes, looks like a bard. You know, kind of very flamboyant. You know, Tammy, why don't you describe yourself and how you actually walk into the room?
Kitty! Gotta go step for a guy.
Yeah, it's a kitty. Are you our mascot?
No. While I pet Bobo, do I feel any, like, cuff fur or anything like that?
Bobo, my fur is of the highest quality.
Oh, oh. King, I pet
you. As I roll my eyes at what's going on.
No, I just ask because I'm petting.
Oh.
And Brambletum wanders over to Bobo as well and tries to start petting you as well. Do you let him?
I just sit down because I'm way taller than everybody. I sit down, roll my eyes, cross my arm, let them.
Do you curl in a ball?
No.
Sorry, I didn't hear that, Gabby. Can you repeat, please?
I pet underneath his chin because I know that most cats.
I hear that they like to have their ears scritched. And he goes to kind of scritch your ears. Do you let him? It feels good.
Not at this point. Sure.
And
I uncomfortably start to purr louder. Embarrassing.
Look, Kitty really likes it. Oh, can I get you some milk, Kitty?
Fabulous. Love a glass of milk.
Okay, I can put it in a bowl for you so you can lick it up. If that's easier. Oh, maybe Miss Sorceress, can you like magic up a bowl with some milk in it?
Sure.
Roll on the wild magic table. Yes, we're doing it.
D100?
Yes, please. Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Do you want to go back using my D300 table that we used?
No, I'll just use the normal one. Go ahead. Class.
86.
What is going to happen? Oh my god. Sorcerer's Origin, Wild Magic, Wild Magic, sir. 86?
Yes.
Okay, all of a sudden, and she's like, everything must glitter. And then like four, poof, 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 and like this like mirror image kind of appears. And all of a sudden, like rotating around her are like four, or rather three identical reflections of her. And you can't tell which one is which.
And they're all going, all must glitter.
Okay. And then finally, and then ding, 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 in walks Drebus. Oh, hey, dudes. All right, we got, like, the whole team here, man. I'm hoping you're all, like, acquainted with one another and everything like that. Did you do, like, introductions, or do we have to, like, do an icebreaker? Like, what's going on, man?
I think we need to do an icebreaker.
Wait, there's four of you. Who are you? Are you Laurelis?
I'm Laurelis, 1, 2, 3, 4.
There's four of you?
Yep.
Wicked. How did you do that, man? I want to be able to do
it. It was magic.
Magic, man. Is that like a kind of, you know, book magic that I need to go study? Or is it
wild,
like,
magic?
Oh, man, that's wild, man. Can you maybe teach me how to do that one?
Sure. You just have to, like, say these words and move your hands this way.
All right.
And then things happen.
I'm doing it. Razatunasko! And then nothing happens. Oh, man. What did I do wrong, man?
I guess you don't have wild magic.
I guess not. Maybe it's just not for me. Okay, well, anyways, guys. Lady Duris is over here in the next room, and she's going to, like, brief you with everything kind of going on. And then you kind of get, funneled into this other room. You meet up with this, very powerful, stocky kind of dwarven warrior. And she basically launches into this, like, explanation. Okay, it's good that you guys are here, but we've been having all these problems, and we found this weird, gnome. And, you just take a look at him, and he's not kind of right in the head. And this gnome kind of wanders in the back, and he's like, gotta go to work. It's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. What do you do? Any and all of you. Gotta go to work.
No, you don't.
Let's get to work then.
Yes, where's work?
Gotta go to work. Gotta go to the factory.
Where's the factory?
Gotta go to work.
Can you show us?
Gotta go to work. And he starts wandering off in, like, this kind of, random direction. And, like, he's going further in. And he actually kind of almost absent-mindedly starts kind of wandering outside.
Follow him.
All right.
Yeah. Camille will follow him as well.
Oh. Gotta go to work. And then he latches a manhole cover that descends into the sewers, and he actually goes down.
Why are you going in the sewers?
Gotta go to work. And it echoes.
There's gotta work go in the sewers?
Gotta go to the factory. And you can hear like the splishing noise inside of the sewer, and you can get like the stench and the foulness of the air just kind of into the air as you see him disappear into the sewer tunnel. Bobo, what do you do?
Start going down step in the tunnel or whatever. I enter the tunnel and stay dry.
You have your boots.
Yeah, you got your boots of flying, I believe.
Great. So I activate my winged boot, and I follow his path down the sewer.
And the rest of you sort of descend and go into that kind of dark hole, and you follow the gnome into the darkness as he winds his way through.
And scene. Okay, that's a wrap. This concludes part A of our episode. We hope you're enjoying the adventures of the G-Team as much as we're enjoying making it all up as we go along. Part B will resume in our release next week. In the meantime, have a great day, stay safe, and don't forget to love each other. See you next time on Gold and Glory.